You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Stay in the room, but I could argue, man, we're going to go in the head a little bit right now, Lorianne. And let's start, I guess, because we were just talking about Toronto and the Nick Arbuckle story. And, you know, like the guy's having an unreal year. And they're, you know, they're saying that, you know, Chad Kelly, he has the femur tibial injury. Now, you had that similar injury, did you not?
I have a cracked tibial plateau.
What is that?
So it's the lower leg,
okay,
the right side. So it's the outer part of the leg. And it's cracked at the top. It was
still
sort of. Well, I'm going to go get another MRI because I slipped a couple months ago hiking. And it's like, I cannot squat. I cannot sit on my hunches. And yeah, it's like I've done something. So it's one thing that if you crack it, if you break it, sometimes breaking it is better because cracking it, it's still there. So doesn't mean it's always going to fuse back. So there's a lot of that unknown, and especially inside your body, Jason, you can't see it.
Right.
You can feel it. So it's about strengthening all of the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, not overdoing it, not underdoing it, because if it's not strong enough, it ain't going to carry you.
Yeah. Okay. So now the recovery time, we're talking a pro athlete for something like this. Obviously it takes a while, but like it's got to be a little bit of mental to fit. Okay. This feels good underneath me at the right time.
Oh, absolutely. It's part of the whole recovery program because you can't overdo it. You can't underdo it. And it's just doing the Goldilocks of how much is too much, how much is not enough. And it's really doing that progression of building it up because a progression is so much better than trying to just hammer it out, load it up, and then where you end up going backwards. So you really got to monitor it. You got to track it. You got to know what you're doing, be aware of it. And this is where if you're in the gym lifting weights, form is everything. It's got to be strict form. You've got to do it slow and almost perfect if you can.
And rookie camps began yesterday across the NHL. They got rookie games and tournaments tonight. Then they go to the main camp. And, you know, the reality of being there's exclusive guys like McDavid, Draisaitl. They're not worried about their job in camp, right? And there's lots of other guys. Bouchard, I'm pretty sure, isn't going to bed at night worrying about whether or not he's going to make the team or not. But there are guys around the league that, you know, the hotshot rookie comes in, and you got to be a good teammate and professional in that. But there's that psyche of, you know, you try to go into a camp, you're competing, and it's nice. Everybody wants to be a competitor. But that's a different thing because sometimes, even if you do well, the organization's like, well, we got to give a young guy a chance, right? How do you, you know, you talk to athletes about, I know everyone says, I only want to focus on what I can control, right? And so you can control your own, but it's hard to not think about stuff like that, I would assume.
Oh, of course. It's like always top of mind, and you got to grab it. If you could see me, I got my hands around my head, and then take it off and park it off to the side because it's just like, hello, if you start focusing only on that, you're going to sink yourself and you're not going to be further ahead, and it's going to make you tighter. It's going to, you know, increase the stress, the anxiety. And where you want to go is, Jason, you got to play your own game. And this is going to sound total contrarian, is instead of being competitive, you want to take a creative approach. Mm. And that is like totally off the mark of what we're taught in sports. It's like you want to hammer the guy. You want to take him out. You want to be the number one. But it's actually the opposite. Is number one, do your job. Have your own plan of what am I going to be doing. Focus on that, but then also look big picture around you going, where am I? Enjoy it. Be in the moment. And that's when you can start to flip it of where you start to not being so tight. You get into that flow state that all athletes are looking for. And you can shut out the whole world and be in the right place at the right time. But you got a parking lot, certain aspects of, okay, my worries, my stresses, my doubts. And you got to just eliminate it. And that's where a lot of the visualization work, that mental preparation, that mental toughness comes in all the time. But then you got to park that and just go play.
I wanted to ask you about this, and I know I should have texted you earlier, but Connor McDavid has been very open about, you know what, I'm taking time. I'm thinking of everything. I'm looking at it. You know, hey, what's best for my family? Like, honestly, like what's best for your family financially, I think, is probably not even the top five because he's got enough money. Like he's already made $100 million and he's probably going to make another $100 million before his career is over, regardless of where he plays in the NHL. But he wants to win. Everybody wants to win. Now, you were in an individual sport, and I mean, you've talked about, you had your little book, and you wrote down, and you strategized again each individual opponent. Because when you're racing Sarah, it's different than racing Sally. And, you know, there's different things. And you could control it because you know how they attack. In a team sport, and specifically hockey, where there's lots of things that you can compare, prepare for everything, and there's 30% of the game that's unpredictable.
Totally.
So a guy like McDavid, and let's say you're the mental coach, and you're in his camp, what would you be looking at when it's, because like you can say, okay, well, this team has this defenseman, this forward, but you got to dig a lot deeper than that to see if you're signing in the right place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's not new to this game, Jason. He knows what's going on. He already has a plan. And then it's just a matter of one, being patient, but two, it's, you got to look bigger than that. It's not just at the immediate. And I know that we've touched on this before, is if the only thing you're thinking about is winning, that's the worst thing you could be doing, because number one, you're not in the moment. Number two, you're taken away from the whole experience. And usually it's the experience, especially when you play a team sport,
right.
It's the family, it's the collective coming together. Yeah, you're going to have players that really step up to the plate. You're going to have the slack Alices and, you know, sloppy Joes, as we call them, right? But it's just, you got to always be thinking of the big picture. And then when you're called up to the plate to get on the ice, are you going to be able to step up to the plate and literally do your job? Because you're being paid to do a job. And we forget that sometimes as the public looking in on these athletes, because, oh man, they're great, they're going good, they're on a roll, and then boom, they, you know, maybe break their tib fib, like, you know, Chad Kelly there. And it's just sometimes the injuries you can't do. But if you're focused too much on just winning, you lose part of the essence of the sport. Yeah, of course you want to win, but it's about having fun too, and it's a whole other level.
So, and now, I know McDavid can focus. I did really like his comment when he said, hey, if you're in this market and you're worried about what some people are talking about, my contract or something, then you're in the wrong game. Because you can't, like, I don't think when the puck drops, you're in the corner, chase the puck. Jeez, I wonder if he's going to sign a 2-year or 4-year deal. Like, it's not how it works, right? Like, that's definitely not.
You shouldn't be thinking that.
But
if you are, then
possible.
You're in trouble.
Sure. But even on an off day, it's just like, I really don't think it becomes that big of a conversation. Like, I could be wrong, but I've talked to players about it, and rarely do guys, like, you, because even if you're on a team, like, everybody has certain people that they just talk to more. You have a group of 5 or 6 friends. There might be one that you're like, hey, this is the one I can talk to maybe about finances. Maybe this one I can talk to a little bit more about deep emotional stuff. You have that different. You're in a locker room. You're not talking to everybody. And nobody's going to ask, especially because it's money. Money still is something that very few people talk about, even though it's pretty public. Everybody knows the salaries. But you're not gonna, so Connor, do you want 16? You want, like, they're not going to have those conversations. So I don't believe it's a distraction. Sometimes I think people believe it's a distraction because as a fan, you think about it lots because there's nothing you can do about it, right? So it's kind of fun to have a conversation at work or listen to the radio discussing it. But I don't think that's the reality of the athlete themselves.
Nope. I think the hardest part is being part of the public, is watching, is waiting for the games to start, is waiting for the show to start. That's the hardest thing. So what else do you talk about? Well, you talk stats. Well, there really isn't any stats other than the money stats. And then it's like, okay, well, where do you go? In the locker room, I'm going to guess. I've never been in a hockey team locker room, so I can't, you know, give you 100% there. But my guess is, look, you're thinking about what's coming down the pipeline. If you are a rookie, if you're the new guy coming in, yeah, you're going to be worried about, are you going to have a job tomorrow? Are you going to have a job next week? So number one, can you bring your A game up to like NHL, gold medal, Stanley Cup level? And that's where the focus comes. It's, you know, what is my training doing? Is it helping me? Is it hindering me? And you start thinking about fun other stuff. Like, it's not about that. If it's about the contracts and you're talking about that in the locker room, you're in the wrong room, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's that's totally valid. Now, we do have a few questions coming in because we're into you know, training camps and tryouts for young kids. And what's the number one thing you shouldn't say to an athlete before a tryout as a parent?
Try something new or focus on something that's not working well. We talked about this last week, right? Is ask the athlete, ask your child, what do you need? And that's a question I have never heard anybody or rarely heard anybody say, what do you need? It's they'll tell you what they think you need, but it's what do you need? And sometimes it's just take the pressure off. Like think about going to Dairy Queen, right? After the game, like that's what we used to do when we were playing baseball up at the cottage on the team. It was like DQ afterwards, like best part of the game. And then you would just go and play your heart out, right? Number one, it's about having fun. Number two, how can I help you? And sometimes it's not saying anything.
Are your skates sharpened, right? Like that's
no, don't even say that because they should have been sharpened the day before or no, the week
like,
before.
Yeah, like
right?
if you're having a try, don't wait in the morning. Hey, are your skates sharpened, right? Like,
No. Everything should be set out the night before or the morning of, whatever the routine is. When I'm working with the younger athletes is create a list because I can tell you right now you're going to forget a piece of equipment. I remember going to so
every
many
parent
races.
Out there is like, how many times have I driven back to get something?
But then they go, how many times have I told you? Remember your shoes. But actually, they say, don't forget your shoes. So what do? You forget your shoes. Yeah. And it's like, all right,
great. Or they say, don't forget your elbow pads. You're like, I didn't forget my elbow pads. What about your shin pads? Well, you didn't tell me not to forget my shin pads.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you know, create that list. And that list becomes that habit. It becomes that checklist. Just like the snowbirds, the fighter pilots, they're going through a checklist. They've actually got it strapped to their quads to make sure they remember everything. And until you get into that habit, Jason, yeah, you're going to forget a lot of stuff. But lay it out. Set it out. Have that template. And it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. But also, maybe the question is tell mom and dad the night before, ask me what do I need or do I need help with? And sometimes just listen.
Because I think lot of times parents will feel like, okay, they're going to the, you know what, just do your best, right? And a lot of times no one knows what do your best really means.
Yeah. But also too, as kids or younger athletes is we've been told to keep quiet and we're not supposed to ask questions like that, the hard questions, because it's just like, is it going to open a can of worms or do they not know the answer? We don't want to look stupid, but it's just more times than not, we get shut down.
Yeah. So, no, I think it's just a reminder because I know there are a lot of different associations will have tryouts. Some have already gone, but there's lots that are still going on. And my reminder is don't get caught up in what level your son or daughter plays at.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, it does not change your value as a parent.
It doesn't.
Whatsoever. You're not a better parent if they're in AAA or AA, and you're not a worse parent if they're in tier 3 or 4. It's honestly irrelevant. It's like, do your kids have fun? Do they enjoy going to the rink? Go to the soccer pitch, wherever they're playing, and do they have fun? And are they challenging themselves? They learn how to lose. They learn how to win. They learn how to be a good teammate. They learn how to deal with bad teammates. Lots of things you can enjoy about sports. But a lot of times I say, hey, whatever team they make, if you feel like your son or daughter should have been on one tier higher, don't tell them that. That's the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Because now they think about it, and now they're not, wow. They go, I should have been on that team.
They're going to be stewing on it, and it goes the wrong way. And I think the biggest thing as a parent is send out the belief that, hey, you're doing a great job. I know you can. I'm your biggest cheerleader, and I'm going to be cheering, you know, for you just to have the best game of your life, the best play of your life, the best shift of your life, and just go have fun. And I think that's the biggest message.
For sure. Yep. Lori-Ann, have a great weekend. Thanks for this. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
You betcha.